Welcome back to the Brownline Church Podcast. My name is Vince. I am one of the pastors. My quick announcement is that if you have not received or read our financial board's letter to our congregation, we encourage you to check that out. A link will be in the episode notes of this podcast. And with that, I will turn it over to our recording from Sunday. This is a real treat, our Pride Sunday, to mark queer inclusion with our community this last Sunday. And shout out to our Connections pastor, Haley, who did an awesome job to corral some of the folks with some beautiful stories. Huge shout out to Kevin Fergus, Kevin Armistead, Rebecca Janvrin, and Melissa Hubbard, who shared as a part of our Pride Sunday. We hope the beautiful service that we had translates to audio here. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, everyone. Happy Pride. Get settled here. So I am really excited for our time together this morning because we are going to get to hear from members of our community sharing some reflections around pride and queer identity. But before we get into that storytelling, we wanted to lay a little bit of groundwork for how we are engaging with pride this year at BLC. I believe that it's so important to see liberating theologies, LGBTQ inclusion, affirmation, and celebration as part of longstanding Jesus-following tradition, not some offshoot that's formed more recently, but as part of longstanding tradition. So Vince, as we get started, could you give us an example of what this early type of inclusion looked like?
Yeah, the idea that we could draw from something ancient to make the argument that even though churches historically have not been welcoming to LGBTQ individuals, anyone who identifies queer, we can robustly say so for many churches today, including ours. Yes. So yeah, a church is embracing pride. Can find a biblical parallel in the story of the early church's embrace of the Gentiles. And so this is, if you grew up reading the Bible, this is mostly the book of Acts in the Bible. It tells the story of the early Jesus movement expanding from a Jewish sect, particularly among a certain group of Jews, to then a cross-cultural community. And so there are some beautiful images and there's a story of St. Peter visiting the house of Cornelius, who is a Roman centurion, a Gentile. And that was our art for this week that we released on Instagram or that we had up on our screen as we started today. There's the ministry of St. Paul, whose letters make up a great deal of the New Testament. All of his ministry has to do with this movement expanding beyond just Jews. And then there's this famous instance of the Council of Jerusalem in the book of Acts that the leaders of the church kind of come together and ask big questions. And the narrative in this, especially in that one, can feel a little bit like inaccessible to modern readers because the controversy that we read about in the Bible, if you're reading the book of Acts, are things like dietary practices, observance of Sabbath, circumcision, you know, like these are things that's like, okay, yeah, that seems like it must have been important then, but they don't really feel consequential now. They feel trivial. But if we look beyond the issues that just miss us because we're modern people in a different world, and the narrative itself is really beautiful, and I'm just going to give you the broad brushstrokes of the narrative because I think it can ground what we're doing today. The God of love that the Jewish Jesus followers had known had evidently shown God's self to non-Jews beyond that small minority group, Gentiles in this day. People were having experiences of this God of love. And inspiringly, the question that the early church leaders decided is most important is not, so do we accept those people? The question that they decided was important to ask was, how do we change our practices in order to integrate those people that God has evidently already accepted? They are having experiences of this God. It is not the question of whether or not we accept them. The question is, how do we change our practices in order to integrate whom God has already accepted? They saw acceptance and inclusion is not the church's to grant, it is God's to grant. This is the way that the book of Acts can call us today as churches in 21st century America to embrace queer pride. Who can deny those whom God has already accepted? And as you'll hear in some of the stories that we're going to share today, people are experiencing God from a queer background and identity all the time. The question is not, do we accept those people? The question is, how do churches change their practices to integrate those people into the life of the church? And we are glad to be a part of a heritage that has asked that question and not the acceptance question. So that's what grounds me in today, is being a part of that strain of the church, given the fact that we do not want to pretend that the dominant strain of the church has not done so.
Yes. And I think it's such an important reminder that this, what you're saying, that this is God's love already at work. Mm-hmm. And we can attempt to be a filter for that love or a conduit. Mm. And that the beauty of getting to be a conduit of God's mm-hmm. love, that we get to join in that love that is already active and present in the world. It's just an important thing to be able to ground pride in that this year.
Yes. Yeah.
So with that in mind, we will switch gears now a bit. Earlier in the week, we posed some questions to some members of the LGBTQ community that are part of BLC, and they graciously took time to reflect. We have a range of answers from those who've been a part of Brownline for a while and those who are newer, and I'm really, really grateful that we get to hear from them all today. So I'm going to start inviting some people up.
I'll get out of the way.
Perfect. And let's do lots of clapping today. It just seems fitting. So I'll invite up Kevin Fergus, and we can welcome him up here. Hi.
Do you need to read on here, or do you have yours?
I have it up.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. I did. I'm going to just wing it. Oh, there it is. Okay. So, I've been coming to Brownline for about a year, since last late summer. And, last fall, so I'd been coming for a couple months at this point, and I was just, like, having a pretty rough week, and I emailed Vince. I just wanted to see if he could get some coffee because I just needed to talk to somebody. And that was the first time I'd ever really engaged in any church that way. I was raised Catholic by the time when I came out and decided, that's what was going on. I was just like, all right, bye, see you at weddings and funerals. This isn't going to work. So I've never really tried to be out in any like non-affirming church. This is the first time I was able to just like talk to my pastor and say like, I'm having a rough time. Can we talk it out? And there was like a bunch of stuff I talked about with Vince. A lot of you know me. I'm kind of going through it this year. So there's a lot of stuff on my mind. But one of the things was that I had a really big crush on a friend of mine, and I'd asked him out, and he had said no. And I wasn't nervous, per se, to tell him. I knew BLC was affirming. Vince knew I was gay from the very first conversation we had, but there was just it was not natural to bring it up. There was, my default thing would be to, not mention this. So I did. I had sort of muscled myself into saying it was the last thing I said, and I was like, "Oh, and this other thing too. I really need to tell you about." And growing up, I never would have thought that I would be able to tell a pastor about boy troubles and have him, react with empathy and curiosity, and never imagined that a pastor would, pray for me about that and just pray for me to get the romantic fulfillment that I'm looking for. Looking back, that was a really big moment of me deciding that Brownline was a church I wanted to invest a lot of energy and time in. It's because I knew that I knew for sure that it was a church that I could bring my whole self to. I never imagined I would have been able to find a faith community that didn't require me to leave my sexual and romantic life at the door. And it means a lot that I was wrong. So, yeah.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
All right. So next, there's another Kevin. We will have Kevin Armistead come join us. Keep the clapping going.
Sure. It's very bright. I never knew that you were looking directly into the eyes of God directly up there. That was all right. Hi, I'm another Kevin here. I've been coming since about January, so like 5, going on 6 months, mostly on a little off, kind of as work life has been a little crazy for me this year. And I guess for a little context on like what my answer goes for, the kind of the two prompts we were given was like, how does being part of a kind of like an accepting community, an accepting faith community, shaped you? And then how has your queerness affected your conception and relationship with God? And my answer is more of a prerequisite to those, and talks a little bit about, I think, what Vince kind of talked a little about earlier, about the way that Brown Line is kind of trying to shape itself to be accepting. And I think my experience has been very affirming in that. So that's what I'm going to talk about really here. My answer is, let's see here. I wouldn't really say at this point being part of BLC has shaped me in any way, point relative to my queerness. I haven't been around that long or heavily involved to have that kind of impact. Likewise, I'm still figuring out my understanding and possible relationship with God in a more broad philosophical terms. I consider myself agnostic on most, if not all, religious questions at this point. So I'm quite literally unsure what I actually believe on those topics in general, and it's really difficult to answer much on my understanding of God in light of that. That all said, I'll say my sexuality has definitely shaped my relationship with Christian institutions in my life, and likewise, engagement with religious thoughts. Growing up, I was raised in the evangelical-tinged conservative side of the Presbyterian Church in the Southeast, where only the cis-hetero norm is tolerated. To translate cis-hetero, for those who are not a part of it, cisgender is people who identifies the gender that they are generally assigned at birth, and hetero is the abbreviation for heterosexual. So those are what generally people view as the normal in society and things like that. So that's the only thing that was considered acceptable, and you were pretty much, we'll just say, put it nicely, not accepted if you fell off that in any way. So I left that church for a variety of reasons, mostly big philosophical questions about the nature of God. But my sexuality definitely didn't let me feel very welcome in returning to explore religious questions as they did come up. So for a long time, I was left to myself on those topics without any faith community whatsoever. These are generally difficult questions, and at the very least, it helps to talk them through the others. I didn't write this in here, but I feel like it could be some good context for those. I'm actually a preacher's kid, and my dad is actually a now retired Presbyterian pastor, and he is on the conservative evangelical side. All that is not accepting. So I've had to grow up and navigate religion being a like quite literal part of my upbringing and family, and having to like hide a lot of personal things around that, which was very difficult. And so it's been hard to separate all this in my life. So finding BLC has been very nice because I can actually engage with the philosophical questions I have about religion and Christianity. And I know I don't have to hide anything about myself or be afraid of what might be spoken around me. The nicest realization I had on this was a few weeks ago when Vince was talking about the upcoming calendar for BLC and started talking about Pride Month for a bit. I don't remember what he actually said, but I do remember for the first time in my life, I wasn't worried about what was about to be said. Mm-hmm. And I realized this in the moment and just sort of smiled to myself at how delightful that feeling was. I can't say anything as far as how this has shaped me or impacted me in my relationships with the Church of God. I'm not really that far along yet, but I do feel like those things are, I might be able to answer those things in the future as BLC has relieved a major impediment to them. In the past, I just avoided these topics. Now I can look forward to engaging them. That's it.
Thank you. Yeah. All right, next we'll invite up Melissa Hubbard.
Hello. Do you want to read it? Yeah, I can read it off of this. This is great. Thank you. Oh, great. I realized I was not straight in seventh grade in a brief respite from Catholic school. No, don't be silly. I didn't learn about it in any educational setting or in a talk from my parents about health and sexuality. I learned about it on DeviantArt like any other weird suburban kid with an internet connection in 2005. It wasn't for a couple years that gayness really entered the popular conversation with Proposition 8 in California, where I'm originally from, which, for those who maybe don't remember, was California's constitutional amendment that would ban same-sex marriage. I went to elementary school, actually, with the child of one of the authors of it, and we did a production of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat together, which is pretty gay. For all the commercials on TV and debate around it, there was one thing the proponents of the bill seemed to have in their corner: God. No matter what us mere mortals said about civil rights and equality, God said marriage was between one man and one woman. So gay marriage was akin to marrying a dog, as one of the dads in my carpool rotation said to me when I was 14. Weird conversation at 6:45 in the morning. And maybe it was just my contrary nature, or maybe it was just part of growing up, but I felt like I had to pick a side between God and not just myself, but this community of people that I was newly a part of. And that sucked, to spend my life learning that my relationship with God was the most important thing, and that God didn't love the sin in me. I hadn't even kissed anyone yet. I was a kid. Ultimately, I had decided to step away from my relationship with God for a long while. It wasn't until my now wife asked if we could check out Brown Line Church that I really began to reinvest in my relationship with God. And now, thanks to everyone here, I have a much more holistic, nuanced understanding of God and God's love. It was a long journey to get here, to learn about God's presence in the world and about God's love in my life, and reconciling that love with this exclusionary version of God that so many people had taught me and that other Christians still insist upon. So I'm really grateful to this community where I get to be all of myself and learn more about God's love every day. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you so much, Melissa. And now, last but not least, we can welcome up Rebecca Janvrin.
Hi, everybody. I'm probably the longest member of this church. I've been here a while, but I feel better when I'm reading, so I'm going to be a little less off the cuff. I hope that's okay. Good morning, everybody. Let me start off by handing you my queer business card. Rebecca, 36 years old, cis female, she, her pronouns, bisexual, pansexual, queer. Those are the labels I have for myself. It means I don't mind the gender I've always been, and I've yet to meet a gender I can't be attracted to. When I was 17 years old, Pride and Prejudice came out, the one with Keira Knightley. And when I was 17 years old, I convinced myself that everyone, regardless of gender, thinks Keira Knightley is attractive. I mean, she's Keira Knightley. She's gorgeous. If the circumstances allowed and consent was given, who wouldn't want to kiss her? I certainly did. But that's just true for everyone, I told myself. I'm straight. That's just the special magic of known beautiful person Keira Knightley, of course. I didn't come out to myself for another 10 years after that movie did. Some people would call it comp-het, compulsory heterosexuality, the idea that straight is the default, and if you don't deviate from the default, then that's all the options you have. I would call it internalized bi erasure. I wasn't afraid to be queer, I just wrote my queerness off in so many little ways and made it an almost irrelevant piece of myself. Everyone thinks Keira Knightley is gorgeous, not just me. everyone has certain intense friendships that when you lose those friends, it hurts in a way that's unfamiliar and deeper than other friendship losses are. Everyone sometimes looks at someone and sees them in a way that's full and beautiful and thinks, God, I want to kiss you right now. And then the moment passes. Everyone thinks and feels that, right? No, not everyone. But I did. I do. And that's the thing I overlooked until I was 27 years old. Until I kissed a girl at a party, and the idea of putting her number in my phone and seeing her again made me giddy. Until I finally decided for myself that I liked girls enough to count as bi. It took a long time for me to finally accept and understand myself that way. I used to think of labels like keys that could unlock parts of yourself. Like labels are this tangible thing that you can award yourself after enough introspection, after arriving at the right conclusions. And don't get me wrong, when I was 27 years old and I finally had a label for this neglected piece of myself, it felt really good. Oh, that's what this is. That's what I am. It finally makes sense. And as I started to move through the world with my newly minted keys in hand, I discovered that those keys could unlock access to certain communities and to the privilege of belonging. I'm here, I'm queer, I count too, I'm one of you. A new group of people I fit in with, a group that I had been adjacent to almost my whole life, but now I've got a key, see? I'm queer enough now, now I fit in. Back then, I felt like I needed some way to prove that I was enough. This is what I call queer imposter syndrome, something I also experience sometimes. The unfounded insecurity of not belonging, even despite personal proof to the contrary. Even having that key, having a label, didn't prevent me from feeling that way. That somehow I still didn't, couldn't belong. The thing is, there isn't actually any one right way to be queer. I have so many queer friends whose experiences differ so much from my own. Gender-fluid friends, trans and non-binary friends, monosexual gay and lesbian friends, polyamorous friends, a whole spectrum of asexual friends, just to name a few, not to mention so many friends of mine who identify with multiple labels for themselves. All of these different experiences deviate from perceived social norms. To be queer is to live with experiences that change your perspective on who and how to love, what you feel is true inside. It changes the way you hold relationships, the way you view yourself, the way you are perceived by others. Some of us are fairly invisible on first glance, and some of us are proud and out loud all the time. Some of us love labels and bear them proudly, and some of us don't think a label can perfectly sum up who we are. But no matter how much we differ, all of us are queer. All of us share this, and I feel fiercely connected to my queer community. I'm very proud to count myself among them. The society we live in loves to sort us into categories, loves to give us labels. Sometimes those labels help us find where we fit, but sometimes those labels make us feel spotlighted, scrutinized, and alone. Sometimes those labels don't even fit us well at all, but our society insists on them. Because if I can perceive what you are at a glance, if I have a way to place you in a box, then I can decide where that box goes. How I interact with that box in particular, as opposed to all of the other boxes. But God didn't make us just to wear labels. They made us human. I'm going to use the singular they-them pronouns for God today. I hope that doesn't confuse anyone. God really feels most of the time like a being beyond gender to me. And since it's Pride Month, it's always good to practice. God looks at all of us and says, I know you. I know all of you, not just your labels, but every secret, every joy, every regret, every hope, and every flaw. I know you because I made you. And because I made you, I love you. And the God of the rainbow, of the sunset, of the aurora borealis, an artist who wields a paintbrush of infinite colors, a master of all they create, how could they know you so well and not love you for every bit of who you are? So the question I was posed to reflect on is, does my queerness enrich my knowledge of God? Or does my knowledge of God enrich my queerness? And the answer is yes. Because I am queer, I see the world differently. I see the love that surrounds me, and I give thanks for the richness of my experiences beyond labels, beyond convenient boxes. Because I know God, I understand love much more richly, and I appreciate the beauty and poetry of every human experience, the choices that make us who we become, the truths that live deep in who we are. Let me elaborate a little. God, as I understand them, one of the first and easiest examples of a being beyond gender. Jesus, who possibly never experienced desire for a sexual partner in his lifetime. Mary, whose family included her human husband and the divine parent of her son, all of them together in a harmonious relationship that benefited everyone. I'm being a little cheeky and possibly anachronistic. Vince can tell me off later. But I don't think we have to divorce Christianity from the queer experience. The queer experience is part of the human experience and always has been. And Christianity, in my understanding, strives to acknowledge and celebrate all that makes us human in every color. Society says, prove you're enough. And God says, you already are. Society says, explain yourself. God says, give yourself grace. Society asks, why should you be included? And God asks, why not? For those of you that don't feel like queerness fits in with who you are, I hope you can see my point in a wider way. What are the labels that society holds for you? And how do you feel about them? Which do you cherish? Which do you loathe? Do you wear those labels with pride or discomfort, or perhaps something in between? Do you long to be known and understood beyond those labels sometimes? Do you do your best to write your own story with or without labels? I will quickly share a recent discovery I made, thanks in part to many conversations I have had with queer friends of mine about their gender journeys. I have updated my gender label recently. This is going to sound like a joke, but I promise I'm actually serious about it. After a lot of consideration on the subject, my gender is cis female, but I just work here. Which is to say, I'm putting in my time with big gender, and there are perks about the job that I enjoy. And I can go all out with it when there's like an event or something, but when I'm off the clock, I don't really have to care or think about it much, and that suits me just fine. It's honestly the best way I can explain how I feel about my gender and closer to the truth of who I am than I have felt in the past. I'm proud to share that with all of you today. Now, that is way too much nuance for society to put me in a neat little box. Society probably stopped listening after the cis female part and just dropped me in that box and moved on. But God sees me more deeply, I think. And I think they're thrilled that I took the time to find that truth for myself. The God that made me and knows me and loves me did not make me wrong. Hallelujah, I am not made wrong. I am made from love, and I am made from joy, and I celebrate who I am with pride. God asks for worship, and I think part of that is discovery, is celebration. We rejoice in their creation, and knowing that we ourselves are their creation too. When we explore the nuances of who we are, when we find labels that fit us better, when we reject the labels that don't, when we learn about parts of ourselves that we did not know before, this is worship. And that goes for queer people and non-queer people alike. I encourage all of you, no matter how certain you feel, to explore some long-held parts of yourself. A lot of you probably have spent time with your sexuality, but if you haven't, I invite you to give it some thoughtful consideration. Any and all conclusions that you arrive at are valid, even if your conclusions are no change necessary, or I don't know, or I don't want to share. That's okay too. The point is the exploration. Another invitation, if you identify with the gender you have been told you are your entire life, have you ever wondered why? Have you ever asked your own opinion on the matter? If you come to the same conclusions that you started with, won't it feel good to have spent that much more time getting to know yourself better? Won't God be glad that you found delight in their creation? So I invite you all to celebrate Pride with me today, to know yourself deeply and rejoice that you are wonderfully made, that God is the artist whose hands made the rainbows and peacocks and mantis shrimp and the sky where the sun never sets for months at a time and the billions of stars unfathomably far away, and you. They made you too. Hallelujah. God made you and knows you and loves you for who you are. Happy Pride. Amen.
So with that, I would love to close us in prayer. Feel free to get comfortable in your seat. You can close your eyes if that helps you to focus in, or feel free to focus on a spot in the room. And we'll take a few deep breaths together. God of love, you are close as we become more and more of who we are, and you honor that journey. You honor our questions. You honor all that we are thinking about, all that we are becoming. Would you guide us as we hold others' stories together, as we are woven into a deeper community centered on abundant love and liberation? I thank you that we get to join in with your already celebrating, already knowing, already loving action in the world. Sustain us and offer us hope. Amen.